Awesome. Awesome. Come on. Awesome. God is good. All the time. God is good. Get your Bibles. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry. Wow. That's awesome. God is good. That's awesome. How many actually may have overdone it at Thanksgiving? I got this. Okay. Overdone it. Well, burnt. I'm glad you said burnt. I'm going to give you, how many burnt their turkey? You didn't have one? Well then, if you didn't have a turkey, how many were the turkey? Amen. Okay, I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to stop that. Okay. 10 reasons, or not 10 reasons. I'm not sure how many reasons. I'm going to give you some reasons why you ought to be thankful if you burnt your turkey. Number one, if you burnt your turkey, remember this, wives, you can tell your husbands if you burnt the turkey. Husbands, if you burnt the turkey, frying the turkey and burn it, you can tell your wives this. If you burnt the turkey, salmonella won't be a concern. Number two, everybody will think your turkey is Cajun blackened. Number three, here's my favorite. Uninvited guests will think twice next year. Number four, your cheese, broccoli, lima, bean casserole found a brand new appreciation. Here's my next favorite. Pests won't bother you for scraps. Pets won't pester you for scraps. I'm trying to get it out of my mouth. Number six, no one will overeat. Actually happened. The smoke alarm was due for a test anyway. You'll get to the desserts even quicker. Okay, y'all really getting into this, I see. Okay, well, how about this? You won't have to face 3 weeks of turkey sandwiches. Okay, and real quick, these are my favorites. I do it every Thanksgiving. This one I put out there just for a little bit, and I got to go because we got to get going here with this. But look, signs you overdid it at homecoming. Number one, paramedics bring the jaws of life to pry you out of your recliner. And I think this happened to me last year. You get grass stains on your behind after a walk and you never sit down. Okay, the rash on your stomach turns out to be a steering wheel burn. Had that too. And of course, representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called you twice. Amen. Okay, we'll leave that alone. Y'all say next year, find some new ones. Y'all say that. You wanted to say it anyway, so I'll let you go. You got it off your chest. Amen. I decided to sit down again today just so I can calm this one down. I want you to really think hard about what we're getting ready to talk about. A Thanksgiving perspective. Can you back that up one more time, dear, and let it open? See, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. All right? But I changed it from just giving thanks to thanks living. A Thanksgiving perspective. Do you realize that God is watching you? Wow. Do you realize God is watching us? Do you realize God is watching the church this morning? God is watching every last one of us. So He's watching and He's waiting. I'm going to get into it in just a few more minutes, but I just want to tell you something. See, today's challenges, they're powerful and they're unique. How many, when you were smaller, when you were talking about Thanksgiving, you were hearing on the news about ISIS years ago? No hands are raised. How many years ago were they putting extra police and the SWAT teams out on the roofs in New York at the Macy's Day Parade because of terror threats? How many remember that years ago? How many remember hearing about all this stuff that's going on around us, the economy, the way it's going, and just all these riots that are going on all over the United States for whatever reason? Did we have that years ago? Do y'all remember that? No. You see, we've got a whole different set of challenges today than we ever had before. Amen? How many say amen? Amen. Amen. You see, it's powerful and they're unique. And without God, listen, we are overwhelmed and overcome. Amen? We're overwhelmed. I hear people all the time. They're just overwhelmed from distress. And I look at them and I say, well, let me ask you a question. Why do you so stress? What's different in your life necessarily that's bringing distress? And I find out that it's not necessarily in their life around them, it's just life in general. It's just stressing people out. You know, I find myself now and I walk into a store, and if I see somebody walking up to me kind of fast or walking up to me with a package in their hand, or see somebody running somewhere with a package in their hand, I stop, have to stop and look and take a double take. Have they got a bomb in their hand? Or are they getting ready to blow something up? You know, or when cars make quick stops, you stop and you just start looking. You start looking around. You say, well, back then it would never happen, but now it's happening all over the place. And it's happening in places you never would imagine that it would happen. Just shootings, just this week, the shootings. And some more in Colorado, a shooter taking out a policeman and taking out people. But you see, without God, all of this overwhelms us. But with God, we're not overwhelmed, we're overcomers. We know that we win. We've read the back of the book. I even said this, you know, I heard him talking about, do you think that it might, or somebody asked me, said, do you think it might even come in this area, or terrorism, or do you think problems be coming like this in our area that we're experiencing all over the world, and you can be taken out just like that? You know what I told him? If I'm taken out just like that, when I open my eyes, I'm going to be looking at God. So I win. Praise God. We win. Somebody say we win. Amen. Yes. So if they try like Paul said, take me out. I'm dead in Christ anyway. Take me out if you need to, but I'm going to be with God. So with God, we're not overcomers. And then you got Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they were overwhelmed. They were cast down. Well, let's get to that scripture. I didn't even get to the scripture. Praise God. Acts chapter 16, 20, 25. I'm going to read that right quick like. Acts chapter 16. Let's get over here. Acts chapter 16. It says, let's read a little bit further back here. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who show to us the way of salvation. Let me tell you, there's Paul and Silas. There's another one in there too. Do you know who the other guy's in there getting whooped? Luke. Wow. So there's Paul, there's Silas, and Luke, the physician. He's writing the book of Acts. He's writing it as it's taking place. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that hope of their gains were gone, they did a good thing. They brought Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. All this is illegal. These guys, Paul is a Roman citizen. This cannot happen to him. It's happening. He should have a fair trial, or is not a fair trial. He's not to be taken out in public and whipped like that. He's being whipped like that. All this is happening all because the devil is upset because his profitability is being taken away. Listen, some of y'all right now, just like, oh, let me finish. I'm going to tell a little bit more. And whoever received, and when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now watch. These guys are bound, they're cast down, and they're bound. They can't move. They're in a position in the bottom of the prison. In the bottom of the prison, their feet are fast in stocks. On the bottom of the prison, People's flesh that has rotted because they died was falling on them. I don't mean to get gross, but nobody's going to be wanting to. Y'all wanted to try to take it easy after Thanksgiving anyway. I'm helping you out right now. Maggots were falling on them and crawling on them. Flies. They had the blood of other people on them. And they could not even see what was going on around them. Now, some of y'all in here right now, you find yourself in a similar situation. You're bound. You're down and you're bound. You can't see what's going on around you. And the devil's beating you saying, you've been bad. God is taking you down. When all actuality is, you've been good. You've done something good. Were you perfect? No. Only God is. But did you stand up for him? Yes. And when you stood up for him, here comes the enemy trying to take you down and trying to get you to think that because you're down, it's simply because you have done wrong in God's eyes. The truth is, here, they had done right in God's eyes, had done wrong in the devil's eyes, and the devil was trying to get to them to prevent what's getting ready to take place. The devil wants to stop you before praise ever comes off your lips. He wants to stop you before thanksgiving ever gets in that heart. Because he knows if you start thanking God, if it gets in your heart and the praise gets on your lips, then you're going to find a whole new freedom that you didn't know that you had. So here we go. It says, and at midnight, at the worst possible time, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they were overwhelmed, cast down and bound, but they were not overcome. They were unshakable. Paul said later, he said, when they talked about all the things that are going to happen, you don't want to go to Rome, Paul, because if you go to Rome, they're going to take you and they're going to beat you and they're going to kill you. And Paul said, none of these things move me. You know why none of these things moved him? Because he'd been places like this. You're in it right now, not necessarily for you. You're in it sometimes for somebody else so they can see. And they can see, wow, if somebody else can handle it, I know I can. Or they can say, somebody else is looking and saying, wow, look at how God is lifting them up in the middle of this catastrophe. Plus, it's getting you ready so that the next time when you see a worse adversary come your way or worse problems, you can look at it and go, none of these things move me. None of them. God's got my back. He always has. So here it is. They knew the powerful force, not only of thanksgiving, of thanks living. Y'all say thanks living. All right. Now here's the difference. Here's thanksgiving. I want you to pay close attention. Please pay close attention to this. There's different levels of thanksgiving. Did you know that? Honestly, some of our thanks mean nothing. They don't. You say, well, I'm gonna thank them. Tell them thank you. Who? The person just gave you that. Why? Because they gave it to you. Oh, thanks. Oh, that really moved me. That sent chills down my arms. You know, sometimes that's how we do God. Thanks. Thanks. You owe it to me anyway, God. I'm one of yours. You know, hey, thanks. Look, there's different levels of thanksgiving. First, there's the act, thanksgiving. Now, if you want to look at the act of thanksgiving, let's look at this thing. Let's break her down into some heavy-duty stuff. Y'all ready to put the plow down? The act of thanksgiving, which anybody can do, is actually usually upon or after receiving something, after receipt. This, honestly, at this level is okay, but this level will hinder the move of God in your life if this is the level you're stuck at. Listen carefully. If this is the level that you're stuck at, this is going to hinder the move of God in your life. Because it's usually after you receive something, it's usually only momentary, and you're trying to be polite. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You know, when people come to me and they just go, sometimes I have people tell me, say, appreciate it, appreciate it. You know what? They don't mean anything. That's just something they just throw out there at the end to make it look like they're trying to be polite, appreciate it. They no more appreciate a man when they're righteous and say, you owe it to me, give it to me, there. Thanks. When you get to that level, honestly, you limit the hand of God in your life. Wow. How many want to limit the hand of God in your life? Just raise your hand and say, yeah, all right, let's limit it. No hands are going up. Watch this. How many want to see God really move in your life? Really move. All right. There's Thanksgiving. Then there's Thanksgiving. The difference is Thanksgiving is an act. It's action. Thanksgiving is an attitude. All right. When you have Thanksgiving in your life, you have a life of Thanksgiving, now you're going to thank God whether you get anything or not. I don't have to receive anything from God to thank Him. I get up in the morning and thank Him ahead of time. I thank Him when I get up. I might not feel the best world. I may have slept on my arm wrong. I get up and I can't even move my arm. You know, I got up one day and I tried to hit the alarm clock. I slept on my arm. My arm was still asleep. It didn't know it was still to wake up. I'm trying to hit the alarm. The dog's pulling things off, pulling the cover off. I can't even stop the dog because my arm's asleep. I let them up. Both of them were asleep. I'm trying to get up and I can't do anything. The phone's ringing. I'm trying to pick it up. I finally get it picked up and I can't even push the button. And I'm thinking, wake up! You know what? If you live a life of just Thanksgiving, that may be your lot. But if you live a life of Thanksgiving, you don't have to receive anything. Your position is, I'm going to be thankful to God no matter what. I thank Him. I thank Him because He gave me life. Y'all don't shout me down now. I thank Him because He gave me life. I thank Him because He's awesome in my life. I thank Him that He sees what I need before I need it. He's there. He's done things for me I couldn't do for myself. I thank Him. It is a continual thing. Let the praise of God, even the sacrifice of praise, be continually on my lips. Amen. There you go. Somebody got it. Let the sacrifice of praise mean I don't have to even feel it. Somebody said, I don't feel it. This ain't about feeling. This is about, God, I want you to know. I stopped by not to ask you for a thing. I stopped by not to complain about anybody. God, I stopped by this morning just to tell you thank you for all you've ever done. Thank you for all you're ever going to do. And if you never do another thing, God, my last breath is going to be a thank you to God. Hallelujah! DC and Daniel can tell you this. I told my boys, I said, they put me on the deathbed, and they tell me that I've got 30 minutes to live, I got 5 minutes to live. I said, I want y'all to be holding one hold one hand and one hold the other. I said, why, Daddy? I said, I want y'all to be holding my hands up. If I can't hold up, you hold them up. If I don't have the strength to praise Him, I want you to praise Him for me. And I want you to thank God in the middle of it all. Thank God my daddy loves Him and my daddy knows that He's able. Praise the Lamb of God. God is able. I thank Him no matter what. I want to live in Thanksgiving. So now, it's continual and it produces. Did you know that? It produces faith. It produces praise. And it produces power. Wow. How many need some power in your life? Amen. Well, get ready to hit it right now. The first power it produces is, you know that, don't hit it yet, dear. Don't hit it yet. Back her up. There you go. How many came today and before you left, you took another look in that mirror? I did. I took another look. My mirror went boo. Because you want to look attractive. You don't want to come looking like you got drug up here in the truck. All except for our new deacon. We got to drag him around after service. Sister Hazel, you're out of that one. We're gonna, you just you watch. You can give him a kiss goodbye. If he comes back, you can give him a kiss hello. Amen. All right. So now. How many want to be attractive to God? Now, here we go. Listen carefully. When I first got into church, I thought the way to be attractive to God was how I dressed. If I didn't wear certain things or did wear other things, then I was attractive to God. Now, that's called legalism. Then I used to think, well, if I could memorize enough scriptures, I'd be attractive to God. Let's stop that again. That's legalism again. I said, well, how am I supposed to be attractive to God if it's not in what I'm wearing? And it's not in all the scriptures I know. How can I be attractive to God? How? Well, what am I going to do that's going to bring power in my life and be attractive to Him? Hit it, dear. Thanks, living. You want to be attractive to God, you praise Him. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Didn't say He inhabits anything else that I'm trying to do to make Him get all excited. He inhabits, He gets excited when we praise Him. And the root word of praise is not just raising your hands and praising God. One of the root words of praise is actually thanksgiving. So now, it's impossible. In fact, it means to celebrate with praise and thanksgiving. That's what this word here meant, with thanksgiving unto God. So if you want to get God's attention, start thanking Him. Well, I don't think He's done anything for me today. Huh? Are you here? Are you breathing? Can you see me? Don't say that's a bad thing or a good thing. Just can you see me? Can you hear me? When you leave this place, or you got an automobile or some way to get back, have you got something you're going to eat today? How many's got leftover turkey? Raise your hand. We'll go to their house. Okay. see all the blessings that we've got? Look at all the blessings. So watch this now. Paul and Silas are in prison. They got the devil's attention when they healed that girl. Think about it. They got the devil's attention when they healed that girl. That girl wanted help. She kept falling around saying, listen to them. They got the great power of God. Listen. They turned around and said, devil, get out of there. Get out. She was a fortune teller. Get out. She can no longer tell fortunes. And we'll leave that one alone, too, to another day. But look, so here she is. They got the devil's attention because they stopped the move of Satan. Coming in here today, guess what you did? You stopped the move of Satan in some area of your life that would have been taking place today, but you stopped the move through your obedience to God and worshiping God. And so now God is watching. So first Satan's watching. He says, wait a minute. I don't want them hearing this. If they hear this, they're going to understand they got power, so I don't want them to hear it. You got Satan's attention just getting up saying, I think I'm going to go to church this morning. You guys' attention. Then when you walk in these doors, you really got His attention. Then when you raise your hands and started praising God, man, you got His attention. He's trying to find a way. He's got 6,000 years experience. He will find a way to make you feel like God's not paying attention. How do you get God to pay attention? Simple. Paul and Silas, it said, and at midnight. I love this. And at midnight. Y'all say midnight. And at midnight, at the worst possible time, the darkest of the darkest, at the worst possible time, they've been alone now that their hands are in stock too, I don't know, but their feet are in stocks. It's by this time, literally, historians said, after a few hours in those stocks, many times gangrene will begin to set in. Your ankles will begin to swell. So at the worst possible time, 12 o'clock at night, they can't see anything. The Bible says Paul and Silas said, God, if this is the way you're going to let your people get treated, then I'm not going to serve you anymore. Is that what they said? Well, can you see this? Satan must be right. We must have done something wrong. We're going through all this. We obviously are doing something wrong, and God is taking care of us. He's punishing us. It's bad. Did they do that? The Bible said at midnight, at the worst possible time, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. And when they sang praises unto God, God heard them. God's listening. Can you see the Trinity? That'd be pretty cool. Jesus saying, your youngins have been beat. They're in stocks and chains. Their backs are beat to a pulp. They've got maggots on them, and they got swelling in their ankles. They got gangrene setting in. But I want you to listen, Father. They're not complaining. They're singing. Wow. They're singing. Somebody say, wow. They're singing. You see, they got God's attention. Let me tell you something. God is always listening to us. Let me ask you a question. Does he like what he hears? Think about it. Does he like what he hears? But not only did he hear, the Bible says that it gets the world's attention too, because the prisoners heard. That word there says, and the prisoners heard them. That word heard means to hear with expectation and joy. Everybody's in prison. They're all different grades. If you go to the penitentiary center, there's all different kinds of ways they got them put in there. The same way these guys, they had guys that were in stocks and bonds. There were some guys that were being held up by the arms. There were some guys that were just in general population. But when they heard these guys singing and praising God, they heard with great joy and expectation. They were expecting something to happen. You want to really make a difference on your job? You want to make a difference in your family? You want to make a difference in your church? When things are going wrong, let them hear you praise him. God, I don't understand, but I praise you. God, I'm not sure what's going on, but I praise you. God, I'm your man. I praise you. God, I thank you because I know that you're not turning your back. I know you're watching, and I praise you. I don't know how this is going to end, but I praise you, God. Man, it's attractive to God when his child, who is beat to a pulp, can raise his hand and praise God. Wow. Wow. When my children were little, if they come to me like they expected I was supposed to do it anyway, it wouldn't happen. If it did happen, I didn't really, honestly, I did that with a bad attitude. But if they come to me and they had true love in their heart for me, and especially when they were in a bad position, wow. I remember this time that I was the defensive coach, and DC was sort of break through the line, and as DC's breaking through the line, those guys realized they couldn't stop him. So they double teamed him. They triple teamed him. And when they double teamed and triple teamed, they hit him so hard one time, I'm telling you what, I felt it. And he got up and had the breath on. I picked him up, and he got back up, and I said, son, as a daddy, I want to say, y'all quit hitting him like that. I knew better. He's playing football. And the biggest guys on the team had just knocked him, cleaned his clock. And he got up, and he said, I'm okay, Dad, I'm okay. And I said, DC, you got to keep going. You got to keep moving. You got to get back up. You got to show these guys that they can't do this. You got to move forward so you can beat this. And I looked, and my heart was broke because I saw tears rolling out of his helmet. And I said, are you ready, son? He went, I'm ready. And I saw those tears still rolling. And those tears went from tears to steam. If I'd have sat there and had it just, you know, coddled him, it'd have been over. But I said, son, you got to do it. This is going to hurt, but you got to do it. I said, you got to hit them fast, hit them low, hit them harder than they hit you, hit them faster than they hit you, hit them lower than they hit you. And he got up. Now, that's not how you do it in the world, okay? You got turned the other cheek sometimes, but in basketball, vengeance is mine. And in football, vengeance is mine, saith the player. And he took those guys down like they were sitting still. They didn't know what hit him. And I thought, and many times in life, I've watched my kids and other people's kids, and I could see the tears in real life as the tears are rolling down. But I see when they get back up and keep on going, and when I see them recognize God, it does something to me. Can you imagine what it does to God? Tears are rolling. You've been hit below the belt. Your ankles are hurting. You can't stand. You're in the darkness. You're bound. You're down. Tears are rolling, but you still raise those hands. and say, God, I'm moving forward with your help. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Wow. So first, it's attractive. It's attractive to God. It's attractive to the world. We're moving through pretty quick. Get ready. We're going to go on a ride. Y'all ready to go on a ride? Get ready. Just remember, y'all have eaten so much in the last 3 or 4 days, you've already told me, you could not eat today at all. Matter of fact, you could start fasting today and it wouldn't count until Monday. And Eddie, I've seen Eddie eat. He'll be Thursday before his counts. Yeah, I remember that homecoming. One of the guys, I was preaching the homecoming, and the guy said, I'd rather hear him preach than eat. Another guy says, me too, I've heard him eat. Okay. It's attractive. But not only is Thanksgiving attractive to God, attractive, it's active. You see, how many need something from God today? All of us. We could raise our hand. I'm going to give you a concrete way to put you in a position to receive what you need. It's still up to God. I'm not God at all. I'm going to put you in a concrete position that's going to get you in a position to receive. How many want to be in a position to receive? Okay? I mean, it's one thing. It's like we talk all the time. The guy's over there, lost his keys, and the guy comes up, and he lost his keys over there by his car, and he's over there somewhere. And he said, I thought you lost your keys over there. He says, yeah. I said, why are you over there? He said, because why are you looking over there then? He said, the light's better over here. Okay, I don't want to be trying to receive from God, and I'm in the wrong place. Okay? Opportunity knocks. And I'm opportunity knocks and I'm at my ship's coming in and I'm at the bus station. No. All right. When you live a life of thanksgiving, it moves the heart of God. If you need God's hand before you see His hand, you need to touch His heart. Wow. Some of us, all we're concerned about is the hand. If you need to see God's hand, you better touch His heart. You see, think about people in your lives. You were seeking their hands and nothing was happening, but as soon as you sought their heart, things changed. With your spouse, you need your spouse, you need your children, you're trying to get something going, you need to seek their heart first. So they sought the heart of God. They began to praise God. And then moves the hand of God. There was a great earthquake. The Bible says suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And the middle of the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Then he sprang in then they called for a light and sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now watch this. Real quick. The key to miracles, you got to seek God's heart first, then His hand. The 10 lepers, Luke 17. 10 lepers came before Jesus. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. 10 went, and it said as they went, they were cleansed. But one come back and thanked him. Listen carefully. One of the 10 came back and thanked him. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Here's the difference. The other guy sought Jesus' hand. God cleansed them, so if they were missing fingers, they were cleansed. They still missed the fingers, but the sores were healed. If they were missing eyes, they still didn't get their eye. They just were cleansed. So the priest would be able to put them back in with everybody else. If a leg was missing, it was still missing. But the one that came back to thank him, who was a Samaritan, he come back, and when he come back to thank him, he said, your faith has made you whole, meaning if his fingers were missing, they came back. If his leg was missing, it came back. If his eye was missing, it came back in the socket. I don't want God just to cleanse me. I want God to make me whole. Amen. I want God to do the whole work. He's going to do the whole work, and someone's going to learn how to thank him. Seek his heart first, then seek his hand. So here it is. Let's keep moving quickly. Now, I've only got a couple more. I've got 25 more slides. No, I don't. Okay. It moves the heart of men too. I was just quickly, it moves the heart of men because it started a series of events. First, the prisoners stayed in their cell. Why? Because they had witnessed the genuine move of God in their life. When people see God in action, it makes them stop. They can get out. They've seen God in action now. They see something powerful happening. They're praising God. They've been beat. They're praising God. God hears. God sends an earthquake, opens up the prison. Now, I'm not going anywhere. I don't see this powerful move of God. I want to see what's going on. So first, they witness the genuine move of God, and now they're saying what's going to happen next. Now get ready. We're almost through. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Get ready. Here we go. Okay. So now watch. Here we go. Quickly. Second, the jailer was saved. Let me tell you something about the jailer being saved. He was saved from two deaths that day. He was saved, number one, from suicide. He was going to kill himself because he knew that the jail's open and the prisoners escaped. He was asleep on duty. They would kill him. So he was saved from suicide that day. Also, he was saved from a spiritual death because he got salvation that day. And then after he received salvation, saved from suicide, received salvation, the jailer brings them up and brings them out and takes them into his home and he ministers to them. All those sores, he begins to take care of them. Then the jailer's family was saved. Wow, isn't that awesome? Now watch this. I'm almost through now. I'm right here at it. Yeah, y'all remember the story about the preacher that sold his mule. And he told the guy that bought the mule, he says, he only responds to hallelujah and praise the Lord. When you say hallelujah, he goes. When you say praise the Lord, he stops. And so he gets in, he's riding on him, he's riding along, he goes, hallelujah, and the horse takes off, or the mule. He's riding right along. And all of a sudden he goes to stop, and he goes, praise the Lord, and it stops. And so he says, look, I'll buy him. So he's buying the mule, he's riding along, and all of a sudden the mule he's going, hallelujah, he get faster. Hallelujah, he get faster. Hallelujah. This mule's running at full gallop, and this mule's running toward the edge of a cliff. And he goes, what was I saying? Stop! Stop! He didn't stop. He said, whoa, mule, he didn't whoa. He said, what was I supposed to say? Let's see, what was I supposed to say? Oh, blah, 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 blah. He gets right to the edge. He goes, praise the Lord, and he stopped. The man goes, phew, hallelujah. When everything else is powerless, thanksgiving is the answer. When everything in your life is powerless, when you've tried everything, somebody say everything. When you've tried everything in your life and it's powerless to deliver you, you're cast down, you're bound, whatever situation is, learn how to thank God. Thanksgiving is liberated and liberating. Liberated and liberating. Okay, when you got nothing else to give, give thanks. There's times I tried to bargain my way out, it didn't work. I tried to complain my way out. Anybody ever try to complain your way out? Anybody ever try to scheme your way out? Offer thanksgiving to the Lord. Watch this. This next slide. Offer thanksgiving and watch the chains fall. Wow. Y'all guys come up here and play something. Y'all say, thank you, Lord. Say thank you again, Lord. And here's what I want you to do right now. We're going to do something different. We're going to open up the altars, but here's what we're going to do. Instead of you coming up here and praying for something, of course, there is some that we're going to pray for because we already know we're going to be praying for them because they have needs in their life. I'm not talking about that. If you have a different need in your life, we will pray for you. We're going to pray for Sister Linda's sister, too. We need to pray for her because she's very sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, I want everybody that will to step up here. And I want you just to offer thanksgiving. Just offer thanksgiving. You don't have to do anything else. Just thank him. Just thank him. And watch what he'll do. Just thank you, Lord. Just thank you. Lord, I just stopped by and I wanted to say thank you. All that will, come up. Sister Linda, come, we're going to pray for your sister. All that will, come on up here. All that will, come on up here, and we're going to offer thanksgiving to God. I want you to offer thanksgiving to the Lord. There's nothing like that. Nothing like thanksgiving. Amen.
What's her name again?
Betty. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Betty needs your touch. And Father, we're going to thank you in advance. We're going to thank you no matter what. We're going to thank you. We're going to praise you. For we know, God, that that's what you want is for us to reach your heart. We thank you right now for touching. We thank you in advance. We thank you for whatever's going to happen, Lord. It's in your hands. And then, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch her body right now, Lord. Let her feel your anointing right now at this very hour. Lord, let her shake her with the power. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, church. Thank you. Praise the Lamb of God. You can't figure it out. You can't complain your way out, but you can praise your way out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. Seek His heart. When you can't see His hand, you can always trust His heart. When you cannot see the move of God, always know you can trust His heart. He loves you. Thank you, Father. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Yes.
Is our God, all we see with us.
One more time, thank him. Thank him, glory, glory. Matter of fact, remember, the devil's already got your attention. Listen, you've already got his attention because you came to church. Just getting on your way to church is going to definitely get the devil's attention, but being in church may not get God's attention. Oh, come on now. Getting here, you got the devil's attention. Now, do you want to leave here without God having his attention? No. Listen, right now, one more time, like we did at the beginning of the service, I want you to go ahead and turn loose. Go ahead and let it rip. Amen. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Yes! Yes! Yes, yes, yes. Now, it's Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's why we're not having service tonight, because I know some people aren't wanting to go. Some people are still celebrating, and they got to have other family things going tonight. That's fine. And everybody wants to hang around as we hook Brother Keith to the truck and drag him, do the drug test. Yes. No, it's a great move. It's a great thing. God's awesome. Amen. Amen. Tonight, today, right now, remember this. No matter what you're going through, thank him. Thank him. Remember, seek his heart, not his hand. Solomon sought wisdom and God gave him everything. Seek God's heart and watch what will happen. Amen. And when you can't see his hand, you can trust his heart. He's got you. He's got you. Amen. My beautiful wife coming up here. Amen. We're going to ask our latest addition before we drug test him.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's been brought to us, and I pray, Lord, you'll give us the opportunity to take it into the world and share it with someone, to share the love of Jesus. We do thank you, Lord, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.